Welcome to the UK's only radio show about HIV and living a healthy life. It's the HIV Hour. Do contact us on hiv@gmail.com. Follow us on Twitter and Instagram at @HIV_hour. Or listen and subscribe to our HIV Hour podcasts, iTunes, Deezer and Spotify. Just type in HIV Hour. If you miss the show on a Thursday at 7 p.m, then you can listen again 4 p.m. on the Monday and Tuesday at noon, or indeed catch up with an older show by going to the Listen Again page on RadioReverb.com.
Hey everybody, how you doing? My name is Stephen Hart. I am a YouTuber. I have a YouTube channel called Hart Talks, and I am also living with HIV. February is HIV testing month, and this is your chance to go along and get tested. It's so easy to do. It's, you know, there's such a difference from how it used to be, and it's just very quick, very easy, and you can get tests by post. There's a whole different way of being tested, so please go along to one of the centres or get in touch with Terence Higgins Trust and find out more about getting tested. It's easy to do, it's quick, and it's always better to know what your status is. And yeah, I'm living proof of that. Take care, guys. Bye.
Radio Reverb.
Good evening, everyone.
Hi there. Hi, Tony. Hi, Josh.
Hey. How you doing?
Hello. Oh, we're good. How are you?
Yes, another week goes by in lockdown. I know we're boring our listeners to what have you, aren't we? But another couple of weeks have gone by, haven't they?
In these lockdown situations.
Oh, gosh, we're still here, though. And our listeners are probably getting fed up. Yeah, we know you're still here. We're tuning every couple of weeks, which is great. But we got a bit of a sad news, haven't we, Josh and Tony?
Yes, it's our Stuart. Our Stuart has decided to take a back seat for a while. So it's quite sad. And we'll miss him, actually.
Yeah, he's been doing some good stuff. Yeah, he's been a great contributor to the show over the last how many months. He's done some really great interviews and interviewed some really great, interesting people. But, you know, I have a theory: one door closes, another door has to open. And this is an opportunity, isn't it, Tony, where we say to perhaps some of our listeners, would you like to come on and do what Tony, myself and Josh are doing? Speaking to our communities, you know, getting involved, getting involved with the HIV Hour, so great opportunity, isn't it?
We're always up for an email or a text or because we've got the email, haven't we, at hiv@gmail.com. So people can always contact us through that. Mm-hmm. And with Twitter and Instagram, HIV_hour. Mm-hmm. So there's ways to get in contact with us if you want to contribute.
Yes, that would be great. We get to have some new people on the show, you know, taking us well into 2021.
Yeah, but we wish Stuart all the best.
Yes,
here. Absolutely.
Here.
Yeah. I'll just say what's on the show with the music, actually, because so the initial track was Love You Now by Cash Cash.
All right.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. We're going to have a bit of crack and smack.
Oh, I don't like the sound of that on a Thursday. Reiterate what you meant, Josh.
Crack and Smack is the name of the artists.
Oh, I get it now.
I sound like I'm liking Tony Blackburn, don't I? Really?
Oh, I love Tony. One of the vintage DJs of the time, wasn't it? He still is sort of DJ or whatever he's doing, yeah.
Mm-hmm. We've got stuff from Sarah Dash, Crack and Smack, a bit of Jamiroquai. I don't know if you like Jamiroquai.
Oh, yes, I do. I love his hats he wears.
Yes.
Do you know those great big hats and those woolly things and horns?
Those woolly things, yeah. And some Freemasons. Yes, and if we've got time, some New Order.
Brilliant.
Nice.
Good.
So what else is on the show?
I don't know whether anyone knows, but from the 1st of February, we have National HIV Testing Week. And people are thinking, hang on a minute, it's normally in November. absolutely right, you've got it. But because of what has happened in the country last year with the pandemic and COVID and what have you, we decided to push it back until February this year. So again, it's going to be a very different national HIV test. And now I've got the privilege of interviewing the health improvement officer for the Town Signature Trust, telling us all about national HIV test and week from the 1st of February, telling us where you can access a test and what have you. So yes,
that sounds good. So yeah, definitely need that hour. What about you, Tony?
So, so I'm going to be talking to Stephen Hart, who runs Hart Talks, and he's had a conversation with Jennifer Vaughan from America and all sorts of people in the HIV community regarding their experiences and stuff. And I've actually done some research on him. A really lovely guy from Glasgow. So, it's going to be a really good one. So, yeah,
I look forward to that. Yes. Yeah. And also tomorrow evening is the start of It's a Sin with on Channel 4.
Yes.
It looks great, actually. I've been watching this in the trailers and it does look, it looks good, doesn't it? So,
yeah. It's his debut. Has he acted before? You know, the guy from Years and Years. What's his name again? Alexander. Is it his debut of acting? I'm not sure.
No, I've seen it. I think I've seen him in other stuff.
Okay.
So I don't think it is. But I'm not sure about that. But it's an amazing cast, isn't it? And
apparently, Josh, it's set in London in 1981. Now, probably a lot of listeners remember. I mean, I loved Pose, and I'm hoping they're going to do another series that was based in America. So it's like the UK Pose, but slightly different. So it's going to be based in the UK. It's a 5-part drama on Channel 4 and at 9 a.m. 9 p.m. That's too early in the morning. starting on the 22nd of January, and apparently, I don't know whether you knew, Guy, but there's a good representation of one of our charities, the Town Signature Trust, in the series, and it even includes posters and materials produced in the 80s. So that's going to be really interesting in seeing, isn't it? So they've literally brought them older posters back from there. You know, goodness what the... But no, really looking forward to that. Really excited.
That sounds good.
That.
Yeah, that'd be good. And we can talk about it next. It's a series, isn't it? Fabulous. So anything else we can... we've got some community news. So
we've got some community news, haven't we?
Which is really important at the moment, isn't it? So.
HIVR is the UK's only show for people living with HIV, sharing stories, news and views on living positively with the virus.
It's Tony, and I've got the pleasure of speaking to Stephen Hart, who is an activist. He's got an amazing YouTube channel, and he speaks to a lot of people about support, his experiences, etc. So I want to hand it over to Stephen. Hey, how are you doing today?
I'm doing good, Tony. Thank you.
Good. So tell us a bit about you. I've just said about your YouTube channel. So let our listeners know a little bit more about you and what brought you to this point today.
Sure. I was an actor living in London. And end of 2005, I got my drink spiked in a club and didn't remember a lot more after that. And then the following morning realised that I'd been raped. So it was a horrendous time, you know, because I just kept thinking, how can this have happened and how can't I have remembered and all that kind of thing. And then a few months later, I was diagnosed with HIV. And so for about 2 years, I kind of hid under the quilt and listened to a lot of Whitney Houston and,
totally
cried a lot, you know, as you do. But eventually I got out of bed and realized that I had a story to tell being an actor and being a performer, I decided that I should write a one-man show, and I did that. Took it to New York in 2009 to 2010, and it ran off Broadway, and I took it there for a month, and it lasted for 7 months.
Wow, so, that's amazing.
Yeah, so it was like, oh my God, it was just, you know, still can't believe it when I think about it, you know. I think it was, yeah, it was amazing. It really was.
Was there anyone that was like public eye figures? Did anyone come to the show? Did you meet anyone famous, for example?
Well, what happened was I was lucky that the New York Department of Education saw it, because what I did, I went over with it for the first month, yeah, just doing it in different places just to try and find somebody that would sponsor me. New York Department of Ed decided to sponsor me, and they gave me a theatre space at Brooklyn College. And it was great because, you know, it started off with my first audience had six people in it. And I remember standing there on stage thinking, oh my God, is this going to work? Mm. And then it just got bigger and bigger and bigger. Every show, you know, people were coming back, they were bringing their mothers and their brothers and, oh, you wow. know, and I had a guy come from the panel. He was one of the people, oh, wow, that decided what shows got onto, you know, got taken up for the Tonys and things like that.
Oh my God,
so it was an amazing run, and move it off Broadway was, you know, it was just stunning. You know, it was just amazing to realize what power a story can have.
Totally, yeah, totally. It's I think when the story is told by the person whose story it is, I think that kind of, you know, is such a better impact. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, and I always tried to kind of, as soon as I came on stage, you know, as an actor, you're taught that there's a fourth wall in front of you, so you don't break that fourth wall, you yeah. know, because, you know, although you want to connect with the audience, you don't want to... you know, you don't want to be actually seen by them, or you know, you don't want to break that fourth wall.
Totally, and yeah.
Basically, what I did was did that straight away. I wanted them to really connect with me from the get go. You know, oh. So it meant that they went on this journey with me, and yeah, by the end of it, they were kind of like they were happy, but you know, they kind of really feel as if they've been through it because they came yeah. with me.
I think that's also that's an amazing way of doing storytelling, if you can actually get the people in the audience to have your same emotions and have the highs and the lows of the story. I think that is the main part that I certainly go to theatres and to watch things, or go to cinema, for example.
Yeah.
I think once you've got that, you've keyed into that, giving people emotion and happiness and sadness, because, you know, it's...
Yeah.
It's a sad story,
yeah.
But you've ended up being this social media amazing channel, and you've got a Twitter and Instagram. And it's what made you do the choice going off Broadway to coming home and then doing the YouTube? Was that a choice, or were you just thinking, "Oh no, I want to have a break for a bit"?
No, well, I kind of came home and. The show finished, my show Shadow Dreamer finished in 2010.
Yeah.
I came back to London and I kind of came back and thought, okay, what do I do now? Mm-hmm. And I really wasn't sure. And it took me a couple of years to realise what came next. And YouTube was always in the back of my mind, yeah. but I was kind of quite nervous about it because I thought, oh, am I going to get people going to be interested? And, you know, and doing my show was one thing, but I wanted to talk about HIV, and I wanted to normalize HIV, and I wanted to, you know, but I also wanted to make people realize that there was so much more to me than HIV, you know.
Yes.
and
yes.
although I talk about it, you know, it's not all of me.
Yeah.
So it was kind of a bit like that. It was making that decision to say, can I do this? You know, and it took me a while to realise that I could do it. So, yeah.
I mean, I've been watching a few of them, and like over the weekend, and just because I've, you know, we've been talking probably for a week, probably less than a week actually, only because I just saw your story, and I think it's just such a good positive voice. You have such an amazing way to storytell. We were talking before about, you had Angie Brown on there, and oh my God, I can remember Angie Brown in the like 90s, and oh my God, amazing. amazing woman. Oh my God, what a voice. Okay, so how do you think that the YouTube and... Because obviously you go through stages, don't you, when you've been diagnosed. I kind of was very kind of angry for a while. Well, not a while, probably a couple of years. And then you kind of could do a bit of grief. And then, so how has that changed you? Like, what was a Stephen like before diagnosis to what Stephen is now?
I think that before diagnosis, I think my diagnosis made me realize that, you know, because I'd grown up in a family that was, there was abuse, there was physical abuse and emotional abuse as a child. You know, I was an adopted child, so I'd gone into a family that wasn't my own. So there was a lot of stuff that happened in my childhood that I was always taught, don't tell anyone, never tell anyone. And that was kind of drummed into me physically, mentally, as a child. And I lived that up until... And up until the rape, you know, and up until I became HIV positive, I still had that belief. And then I always remember my agent saying to me, you can never tell anybody about your HIV, you know, you'll never work again. So again, I spent another couple of years being completely, you know, this is a secret, you know. And then eventually I realized that I had to tell, I had to talk about it, you know. So it, I suppose in a way, becoming HIV positive made me realize that I had to open this, the door on on my life, and you know, the whole story really. I had to open it up, and I had to tell people about it. So you know, it's it gave me something, you know, definitely.
You must be scared about, like, oh my God, I can't tell anyone. And now you're like telling everyone about everything. And it's like, it must have been traumatizing the first couple of like YouTube videos, or, you know, doing your show off Broadway. It must have been like terrifying. And how did you, how did you get over that? Like, I mean, because it's not stage fright, this is life fright, isn't it? It's just like,
I used to describe it to people like a brick wall. So there was this huge brick wall built around me, and it was the brick wall I built to protect myself. And when I started telling my story, I had to take each brick down one by one by one. So it took time, and each brick was a whole different part of my childhood, or my, you know, me as an adult, or whatever it might have been. And I had to deal with each brick, you know, and it took time, and it was writing it, you know, the whole thing about writing my one-man show was, it was painful, and it was, there was a lot of tears and there was a lot of sadness, but when I then started, you know, I had a new agent by this point, and I shared it with my new agent, and she was just, I couldn't believe how blown away she was by this story, because we never think, I didn't think my story really would do anything, or, you know, would make a difference to anybody. And she said, Stephen, you have to share this. This has to be something that you talk about. And it was only when I started seeing what my story did that I started realizing, you know, how worthwhile it was, and you know, the power it had. So it was kind of very much of a learning experience for me.
Cool. I mean, it's, I think the way you've emoted, or the way you have, where you've told your story, or, you know, on YouTube and with the show, I think it's I think with people that actually have stigma with people with HIV, I think if they actually watched your story, and I think if they actually listen to how it's affected you, I think, you know, hopefully that stigma would start to go away. Have you suffered with any stigma in your life, you know, with HIV or?
Yeah, definitely. You know, I went through the whole thing, you know, when trying to date. You know, I came out of a 5-year relationship and then went back into the whole dating game, you know, and it was it was scary. It was you know,
oh my God, yeah.
It was almost terrifying as doing a one-man show, because until I'd done my show, I still wouldn't tell. And then when do you tell somebody that you've started to see, and should you have told them before, you know, all that kind of thing
100%.
Went on. And so sometimes people, you know, sometimes people would comment on my YouTube, and I've had a couple of emails from people saying you shouldn't be promoting this lifestyle.
Wow.
You know, so you have to kind of look at the email and go, right, okay, well, I'm not promoting it. I'm just telling you my story and my life, and I'm not saying go out and do the things that I've done. I'm just telling you, I'm just sharing my story with you, you know, and if you want to watch it, then great. And if you don't, then don't, you know, so it's...
Go to the next channel. Yeah, totally. You always get the Karens from finance, don't you, that always are going to, like, talk down to you and, you know, try and tell you you're doing a bad thing. But honestly, I was really blown away this weekend. I have obviously subscribed to YouTube. And it's... I think the one that made me giggle was... there's one about water sports that made me really laugh. So there's lots of content on there. So what's your next couple of years going to be?
Well, I've recently been taken on as a volunteer with Terence Higgins Trust for Positive Voices, which is great. It's something that I've been planning on doing for a couple of years and just never got round to. So that's great. Obviously, I'm hoping that my YouTube channel will open some doors for me. You know, because I've interviewed quite a few people, you know, people from Angie Brown to Jennifer Vaughan to Matthew Hodgson, you know, so I've had quite a number of HIV, you know, interviews done,
sure.
but also people that are in showbiz, you know, that, so it's a real mix, but I'm hoping to be able to do more of that, you know, obviously COVID's scuppered things, you know, for the time being, you know, just to be able to tell, I was able to tell my story, you know, to, you know, and what I want to be able to do is allow other people to be able to tell their stories, you know, so that's the aim of my channel and what I'm trying to do.
I think if people see how, it's not an easy thing by any means, but I think if people realise and see that, you know, having to tell this is quite horrific, but there is support out there. You know, there is agencies out there like THT. Like, I'm just thinking about in the West Sussex area where I am, there's THT, we've got the Beacon, we've got the Worthing Hub, my little one, and we've got Metro from London. We've got some of them down here. So... thank you so much for spending like a quarter of an hour with me just to tell me your story and to introduce you onto the show. Obviously, Stephen is going to be part of the THT Positive Voices campaign, and that's going into schools virtually, isn't it? And telling them about sexual health, HIV and stuff, isn't it?
Yep, it is.
So what we'll do is we will put all Stephen's YouTube, Instagram, Twitter, all onto our Facebook page and group, and then, you know, we will be promoting it. I just want to say thank you so much for spending some time with me and just telling me some of your story. It's amazing, it really is.
You're welcome, no problem.
Cheers, fellow.
Hi, it's Tanya from the Radio Reverb HIV Hour. It is going to be HIV testing week from the 1st of February. It's good to know your status than living in the darkness. So I encourage everyone out there to go and get tested and know your status. Thank you.
Let me tell you about a thrill.
Radio Reverb.
If you've just tuned in, this is the HIV Hour on Radio Reverb 97.2 FM in the Brighton area and .com online. I have pleasure introducing Philip Rapp from the Terence Higgins Trust. Welcome, Philip. First time on HIV Hour.
Thank you very much, Sue. It's a pleasure to be here.
So just tell our listeners... obviously, I've said you work for THC. What is your role at the Terence Higgins Trust in Brighton?
So my role, I actually started at THT during the first lockdown. So that's fun. And my role is I'm the Health Promotion Coordinator for Community Engagement and Outreach. So that involves managing a team that go out and do condom distribution, sexual health screening, HIV testing, mainly in commercial gay venues around Brighton and Hove. We also do one-off kind of pop-up events with universities. I also manage a worker who specifically works with female sex workers. But all of that work has been extremely challenging, as you can understand, over the last nearly year now.
Yeah.
Because we can't get into commercial gay venues. The majority have been closed for that amount of time. And even when they're open, obviously with social distancing, it's really hard to get the message out there. So we've had to be very creative over the last year with our approaches to the work.
I bet, and I'm believing Brighton as a whole has had to be, you know, because okay, we're talking about THT, but you know, there's places in other parts of Brighton that can't do. They close their doors, like we, you know, the Terence Higgins Trust have. You know, the offices are not open at the moment, are they, Philip?
No, we opened the offices briefly, kind of between the lockdowns and also during the second lockdown, because the restrictions weren't as strict as they are now. So we did open our office for appointment-based HIV testing and sexual health screening. But all those services have now stopped and we moved everything online. And I think it's a real credit to charities in general, but especially the HIV sector, that how quickly we responded to this absolutely bizarre situation that we found ourselves in and have managed to put nearly all of our services online, our counselling, our therapy services, our Live and Well services. You know, just how quickly we've adapted has been a real credit to the whole organisation, really.
No, it's absolutely amazing. And for you to say that and our listeners to hear that, that endorses the credibility of one of the biggest charities in the UK and based in Brighton, the Terence Higgins Trust. You know, rising to the challenge on every opportunity, which I think you guys have done and are continue to do. But we have another challenge. We've got a national HIV testing week that should have been in November, shouldn't it, Philip? And it was postponed until the 1st of February. Why do you think that was?
I mean, HIV testing week has been going for years now. I think it started in 2012. Terence Higgins Trust started it as part of HIV Prevention England. And it was really a week where every week is HIV testing week.
Of course, absolutely.
But specifically that week in November is a time when we really push the messages around the need for testing. And it's really an opportunity to educate people and inform people about how testing and treatment and HIV has changed. Obviously, in November, we were in the second lockdown. So a lot of our plans that we would have had for HIV testing week, which involves lots of community-based work, lots of outreach work, testing in venues where historically testing might not have happened. Obviously, that just couldn't happen. So it was postponed until February, because usually testing week is the end of November and leads up to World AIDS Day on the 1st of December. So we shoved everything back to February in the hope that we would be in a much better position to do things and to get out there. And sadly, that's, as we know, not happened.
But another great campaign going. It's an online campaign, isn't it, Philip?
Yeah, so, I mean, the campaigns team at Terence Higgins Trust have been working really hard to, obviously, they had one plan in place and now they've had to change things very quickly. So, yeah, from the 1st to the 7th of February, especially on social media, you will be seeing lots of information about HIV testing week. And the key message that we've had to adapt is now it's stay at home and test at home. Because one of the major developments in HIV testing over the last 10 years is that there's now home testing kits and home sampling kits that people can order for free online, get the test done at home, get the result at home, and get support from services after that.
Philip, if someone is listening in and have never used a self-test kit before, what would your advice be? If perhaps they're a bit, I'm not sure, I prefer to go for my test on a face-to-face, I know what they're doing, but something coming through the post, I'm feeling a bit, not so sure about. What would you say to that person?
I would say that use this opportunity to order a home testing kit. Testing is not what it used to be. It's not a big needle. It's not lots of blood.
That's what frightens people, Philip, the needle.
Yeah, and it arrives, if you order a postal kit, it arrives extremely discreetly packaged. So no, if you share a home or if you're living with friends or family, no one's going to know that it's a HIV testing kit. The way the test kit works is that it's a lancet, so it's not a needle. So it's just a finger prick that you do yourself. And it's not a lot of blood. It's one drop of blood that you need for the test kit that you will get at home. And then the result comes through in about 5 minutes. So they're really easy to use.
So just out of interest for myself as well. So what are you testing for on that little bit of blood?
So the home test kit tests for HIV antibodies. So it's basically, if you have ever come into contact with HIV, you would have created antibodies, and that is what the test is picking up. The test that you would get at home has three possible results. So negative, which means that no HIV has been found. And there is information in the test kit about how to stay negative. So talking about sexual health and using condoms or going on to PrEP. Mm-hmm. Another possible result is reactive or positive, which means that HIV antibodies have been found. And in the kit, there's lots of information about what to do with that information and who you need to contact. You will have to get that result confirmed at a sexual health clinic. And sexual health clinics are seeing people if they do get a reactive result. And the other possible result is invalid, meaning that the test hasn't worked, which does sometimes happen with tests. And then you can just order another test and do it again.
So. Right. Now, that's very reassuring, especially for people that have never used that system before. They've gone into THT or they've gone to their sexual health services. So that's really good information. So all of it's there. If you get, reactive, there's a phone number, there's a contact where, they can do. But we're not also testing for HIV. There's other things, isn't there, Philip?
Yeah, so you can, if you're living in Brighton Hove, you can go to brightonsexualhealth.com. And from there, you can order a sexual health screening kit. So those kits test for chlamydia, gonorrhea, syphilis, and HIV. Mm-hmm. Those tests are slightly different. The joy of the HIV test is that it's instant and you get the results straight away. With the STI screening kit, it's more about taking samples and sending them off to a laboratory because obviously they need to be tested there. But you do get the results quite quickly by text. And if anything's been found, then you can book an appointment with a clinic and see someone face to face to get treatment for that infection. Mm-hmm.
Right. Philip, why do you think it is so important to know your HIV status?
I think there's two main reasons why it's important. At the moment, looking at the latest figures around HIV infections, one in 16 people with HIV are unaware of their status. And people can spend an average of 3 to 5 years not knowing that they are HIV positive. Mm-hmm. So you're obviously increasing the risk of passing HIV onto sexual partners. So that's a really good reason to get tested. Another reason is that we are seeing about 42% of the people that were diagnosed last year were diagnosed late. So it means that HIV has taken hold within their body and they are more likely to suffer from poor health and an increased risk of those kind of infections that they might have acquired, leading to really bad health and possibly death as well. So it's really important that people just get into their heads, like going to the dentist, like anything like that that you might do every year or every 6 months, to just get yourself checked out. And, you know, a lot has changed around HIV in the last 10 years. It's not what it once was. And it's really important we get that message out there that if you do test positive for HIV, it's not a death sentence. It's not the end of the world. It means that you have done a test, which the result is going to save your life because you're going to get on treatment. You're going to become undetectable and you will never pass that virus on to anybody else.
Absolutely. And I think it's so important in this COVID situation we are still in that HIV stays on the agenda. Would you agree with that?
Absolutely, and there was a really big campaign during the first lockdown that started, I think it was 56 Dean Street, which is the main sexual health clinic in Soho in London.
Yeah.
And it was about, and THT endorsed that campaign, and it was about breaking the chain of HIV infection. So because we had the lockdown and people were ideally not meeting new sexual partners during that time, if they got a HIV test, it would greatly reduce the number of people becoming infected. People could get diagnosed, they could get on treatment within that time and become undetectable. So it was a really good opportunity to kind of break the chain of HIV infection.
And we do have a target, don't we? We have the target by 2030, we want to eliminate transmission of HIV. Do you think, as an opinion, working for the Town Signatures, how do you feel about that?
I think it's really, really promising. And I think, speaking as someone who, as you know, so I do a lot of HIV awareness training with professionals all over the place. And I used to dread doing HIV training because there didn't used to be a lot of good news to tell people. And I think what's been great about the training I've delivered recently is there's so much good news to tell people.
Yeah.
You know, with undetectable viral loads, but also the target for anywhere in the world to reach the 90-90-90 targets, which is 90% of people being diagnosed, 90% of those being virally suppressed and not being able to pass on their status. And Brighton is...
We're doing quite well with that, aren't we? Yes.
We've massively surpassed
those targets. So well done, Brighton.
Well done, Brighton, and it's because of we have such wonderful sexual health services in Brighton, and not just Terence Higgins Trust, the sexual health.
There's some other amazing, and you work in collaboration with all the services, because I think we have to, you know, to make an end by 2030, we have to work in collaboration with each other, because we've all got the same goal, haven't we, Philip, you know, to bring an end to this.
Absolutely. And I think it, you know, coming from, I was working in London before coming to Brighton, it's so brilliant to see how well everyone works together and that we are all working towards the same goal. You know, it's not about fighting for funding, even though we're all, you know, struggling in these times. We've all got that goal that we need to get as many people tested as possible so that they can access some of the amazing services available.
So on that note, how can someone access a HIV test?
So obviously at the moment our office at Ship Street is closed, but you can go to the Terence Higgins Trust website. If you are a resident in Brighton Hove, you can get a free HIV test kit delivered to your home address, and you can do the test there and then, get the results straight away. And as I said before, there's loads of information in the test kit about who to contact should the result be reactive. You can also go to brightonsexualhealth.com if you want to do a full sexual health screening. They'll send you out a free sampling kit and you can send all the results off. So all that information is online. If you just go to tht.org.uk and find out the free test kit page, then you'll get all the information there that you need.
Brilliant. And that this might make you have a laugh, but I mean, I have this vision. And I have lots of visions, being part of one of the greatest charities in the UK and doing this fantastic work on the HIV. I have a vision that in time we can go into our local supermarkets we can go into our, you know what I'm going to say, we can go into our local pharmacy. I'm just going to get my HIV tested, say, like a woman would go and pick up a pregnancy test.
I don't think yeah. those days are too far off, because I think testing is so simple, and you can buy the kits online, and they're about £30, but why not take advantage of the fact that we're offering these for free?
Absolutely.
I think one of the key roles of organisations like Terence Higgins Trust is to normalise HIV testing.
Yes.
And one thing that I know you, Sue, will understand is that a huge amount of my work is not spent talking about testing and treatment and prevention. It's talking about stigma and discrimination.
Yes.
And I think a lot of the barriers to HIV testing are based on that kind of the myths, the stigma, the discrimination around HIV. So if we can remove the stigma around going for a HIV test, which is essentially taking responsibility for your own health. And other people's as well, making sure people know that it's fast, it's quick, it's confidential, it's not a needle, it's not loads of blood, then I think, you know, more people will get tested. And, you know, we're doing really well in Brighton Hove. People are getting tested on a regular basis.
Good.
We have services that work in partnership with each other to offer as many avenues into services as possible. And once we're allowed, we'll be back out into venues across Brighton and Hove offering testing. Whilst you can have, and you can go and have a pint afterwards.
Which, exactly. Or a glass of Prosecco. Or a glass of Prosecco. Philip, thank you so much. Great information, great advice. Good luck with what you're doing at the Terence Higgins Trust. I know it's challenging times, but by the sounds of it, you're doing, you know, you and the team at Brighton are doing a fantastic service to Brighton and Hove. And keep up the good work, and perhaps have you on again.
Yes, you can follow us on Facebook. We've got a THG Brighton page, and that will be bombarded with information about Testing Week, which is from the 1st to the 7th of February.
Brilliant. Thank you so much for taking the time out to talk to us on the HIV Hour. Thank you so much, Philip.
No problem. Thank you very much.
You take care.
So we've got some really important community news for you. We start off with the Sussex Beacon. Their services are currently running through both face-to-face activities safely and following appropriate guidelines, and through their online and phone support. Day service groups on Tuesday and Wednesday continue to run at the Sussex Beacon. Peer mentor support continues both face-to-face and online. Community support work for Brighton and Hove is face-to-face in the community. Casework for service users across Sussex is continuing through phone, online and one-to-one support. The women's group is operating both an online group and occasional small face-to-face groups. The fantastic mindfulness courses continues online support sessions. The positive fitness class is accepting referrals for assessment. Also, their inpatient unit is open for referrals. So do contact them. Their number is 01273 694222. Also, you can go to their website, which is sussexbeacon.org.uk. So here's an update from Lunch Positive. As you probably well know, their Friday Lunch Club is paused at the moment due to the regulations. But instead, they are providing every Friday a delivery of cooked food and groceries. So that's to people with HIV. You might be experiencing difficulty in shopping or cooking or just eating well. Also, people who are self-isolating and shielding, they want you to get in touch. They're there to support. So they have plenty of food to share and a group of great volunteers who want to help. They also have a HIV food bank, a telephone befriending service, advice on and information, including support available in the city, an outreach support visit, which is by arrangement, and video peer support groups. So lots of great support there. If you want to get in touch, you go on the website, which is lunchpositive.org. You can fill in a online form, or you can actually call Gary on 07846 464 384. They are there to help and support, and always in friendship.
Now, on Tuesday, after the lockdown was announced on the Monday, I called the Lawson Unit, Central Clinic on Rowlands Road, and St Richard's. Now, I was told that the clinics are happening as usual. You need to have booked on the telephone and made a place. You also, they will give you a specific time to turn up due to COVID restrictions and, you know, these social distancing, etc. Now, for sexual health, like STI screening and HIV screening, they are sending home kits out to you under plain envelope, but you need to call in. You can't pick one up. So you need to call in, give your details, and they will actually send one out, plain envelope to you, and then you just do what you need to do, send it back, and that's all done.
So, another great show.
I know. Yeah. Great stuff as usual.
Yeah. Really good interviews as well, I thought. Really good, really informative, which is, so.
I think it's you know, we need truth and honesty at this time, at the moment, you know. And you know, if anyone's sitting at home or, you know, listening to the show and they've got a story, I'm just thinking, Tony, why not contact the HIVL and at gmail.com and come and tell your story if you or you know someone else that could tell a story or, you know, some information. We'd love to hear from you.
Yeah. Or message us via the Facebook. We've got a Facebook page and we've also got a Facebook group. So if anyone wants to join the Facebook group, just email us at hivhour@gmail.com and then we can just add you in to the group.
That's brilliant, yeah. So there's, I mean, there's lots of stuff going on. We've got some new stuff coming up. We've even got the HIV podcast, the HIV Hour podcast, which is on Spotify, iTunes, and Deezer. So I think all you have to do is type HIV Hour in those platforms, and you'll be able to subscribe and listen to them back.
Brilliant.
So, yeah. So that's good. Yeah. All right. Well. Yeah. So thanks for listening.
Yes, thank you. Keep safe. We say this every time and we really do mean it. You know, the vaccines are coming round, aren't they, guys? And so let's all just keep everything crossed and keep safe and keep well.
Yeah, definitely.
HIVR is the UK's only show for people living with HIV, sharing stories, news and views on living positively with the virus.